We have a lot to do in the first reading, so just point out, by asking for a sign, you are refusing to accept the person. And they are saying, give us some sign that will force us to believe. There's no such sign. Faith by its nature is free. A compelling sign that forces people is not ever going to result in faith. Well, you heard this text and from Genesis 4. It would take a long time. I promise I won't take it. But this text is filled with ironies and plays on words and teaching about sin. And it's sad. It's the story of our lives. And sin, Adam and Eve, will now grow. For every sin, God provides a remedy. He puts a mark on Cain. That's become in literature the curse. But it's not a curse, it's a protection. I'll put a mark on you and people see and you, they won't kill you. And moving on and on and on until we get, as you'll see, to the Tower of Babel, which is a universal attempt to do without dependence on God. And God scatters them because they can't understand one another anymore. And then there's no solution given. This is a universal disaster. And there's no solution. Apparently, things are going on, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. And then finally, from chapter 12, comes the solution. And God said to Abram, go from here. And the choice of Abram begins salvation history. It's the universal remedy for the universal catastrophe. Abraham, his faith, his people. That's why we still call ourselves children of Abraham. Here we have almost every line. The man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain. Yada in Hebrew always involves, this is a word for know, always involves contact. To know God is to experience him. It's not a philosophical concept, it's a personal relationship. And she says, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. That's true of every conception. When man and woman come together, there is conceived something. But only God can give the soul. To this day, only God can give the soul. Now, he always does. But you see, I have conceived a man, I have acquired a man. Kaniti. You see, she bore Cain. Kaniti, you see, I bore a man with the help of Adonai. Next, she bore his brother Habel. Habel, light, feather, kind of notion. Abel became a keeper of flocks, and Cain a tiller of the soil. Now, there's nothing wrong. Adam was told to till the soil. So there's nothing there. In the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the soil. That's all it says. He brought an offering from the fruit of the soil. While Abel, for his part, brought one of the best firstlings of his flock. There's the difference. So, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not. Cain was angry and his face fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you so resentful? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, This is a pretty good, it's not really Hebrew, but it's pretty good. If you do well, you can hold up your head. But if not, sin is a demon lurking at the door. His urge, the demon's urge, is toward you. Yet, you can be his master. The word here for urge is the word used of Eve. Your urge shall be for your husband. And so, it's this drive sort of thing, you see. Sin is a demon lurking at the door. Sin is right around the corner. And then, Cain said to his brother Abel. Now, in the Hebrew text, that's all. Something's fallen out. The ancient texts, Targumim and others, put in, let us go out into the field, which is good. While they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. The first murder. The Lord asked Cain, where is your brother Abel? Your brother Habel, where is he? I do not know. Anishomer, am I the keeper of my brother's? My brother's a keeper. He's a shomer of sheep. Am I the shomer of my brother? Look at the impudence of that. Does he think if he puts on a bold front that he can stare God down? What does he think? We're equally dumb. It's not quite as clear sometimes, but you see. The Lord then said, what have you done? Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the soil. Therefore you shall be banned from the soil that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. This is the blood, you see, which with the blood of Christ is compared in Hebrews, you see. And the blood of Christ speaks more loudly than the blood of Abel. It brings salvation to the whole world. If you till the soil, it will no longer give you produce because you've spilled blood on it. And in the blood is life, of course. You shall become a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Since you've now banished me from the soil, and I must avoid your presence, leave your presence, and become a restless wanderer on the earth. Anyone might kill me at sight. Not so, the Lord said to him. Now here's even a remedy for Cain. Mercy. If anyone kills Cain, Cain shall be avenged sevenfold. The one who murdered your brother. I will protect you. This is my mercy. Give you a chance to live again. So the Lord put a mark on Cain. See, lest anyone should kill him inside. So the mark on Cain is protection. It's not curse. It's mercy. That's the remedy. Adam again had relations with his wife, and she gave birth to a son, whom she called Set. The name Set alludes to a Hebrew word, added. The Lord has added to me in place of Abel, because Cain slew him. And now we're starting to see the spread of sin. It spreads like cancer. It started with Adam and Eve. Now their children are killing each other. And that will go on. See? And who can reverse this inexorable law? God. His Son, Jesus. And in the power of his passion and resurrection, Mary was conceived like Adam and Eve, immaculately. And so she's the new Eve. And Jesus is the new Adam. And because of the blood of Jesus, which speaks more loudly than that of Abel, we all have a chance to live a whole new life. It's the mercy of God.